Whatever, welcome to a new show. Brand new show. As you know, I am brand new, and like always on all podcast platforms everywhere. Brand new show. Social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook, brand new show. And of course. Wait, whoa. No, Instagram and Threads, brand new. I'm so used to saying that shit, I keep forgetting this. Instagram and Threads is just brand new. God almighty. Facebook is the brand new show. And of course, TikTok is brand new show. Go subscribe to follow me on all those platforms. Instagram and Threads, particularly, is just brand new show. So, I mean, brand new, not the show, just brand new. You think after a couple months I've been doing this, I should know how to fucking do this now? But I don't. Sorry about that. Where you really could just find me is very simple, and that's my YouTube channel, brand new show. Go. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Brand New Show, man. Shout out to everybody that's been subscribing, commenting, viewing. 200, man. I got over 200 subscribers. Keep commenting, keep liking, keep viewing, man. I guess my algorithm is going up because of the likes and the comments and everything that's going on. It's been a crazy 2024 for me as a podcaster, but in real life too. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, man. I really, really do. It's Tuesday. You already know what that means already. It's I Bleed Sports. Stay tuned for the I Bleed Sports Awards at the end of the year. I have to write down the categories. I was checking some of my old notes. My first I Bleed Sports Awards was last year, so I will be writing down this upcoming weekend. Right now, all of the stuff this upcoming weekend. Hopefully, I get that out to you guys next week. This kind of football playoffs is kind of crazy because now it's happening. I'll have a week to prepare for college football playoffs because that's not kicking off until December 20th. So I will have a week to prepare for that. So hopefully, next week it's a little bit easier and kind of do it, get out the way. So be on the lookout for next Tuesday. Might be the I Bleed Sports Awards. So I might actually write that stuff down. I've been writing down a lot of stuff the last couple of days, well, since yesterday, trying to just get stuff in order. If you watch my Wrestling Life podcast, I got that coming this week. If you know me, Life and Times of Music, I got that coming this week. I gotta close out the Point of View of Random Shit this week. All of that is coming, man. The end of the year is officially here, and it's coming off soon for you guys. But I Bleed Sports is one of the last few I Bleed Sports of the year. So let's get into it. Y'all already know college football, my crazy six. They just revealed the new college playoff rankings. I'm going to talk about that, and I'm going to give you my crazy six. Eyes on college football. Conference championship week is officially here. Couple of crazy games. Four games, y'all already know. Skeptical game of the week. Most interesting game of the week, my upset game of the week, and of course, my game of the week. My big four in the NFL, crazy week. We're getting closer and closer to the freaking playoffs. Teams are now starting to get eliminated. Some teams are starting to clinch division, clinch the playoff spots. Everything is going down. Of course, you already know my levels of warning: yellow, caution, orange, panic time, and red is DOA. Let's get into it, man. But before I get into all that, Tank Davis is officially coming back to boxing. And just a moment ago, doing a presser with Frank Roach. I say Frank Roach, like this man's name is, Frank Martin. Lamonte Roach. It's official. Tank says, he's done after 2025. He says he's not boxing anymore after 2025. I've heard boxers say that shit all the time. Floyd Mayweather famously was like, "Oh, I'm retiring after he beat Oscar De La Hoya," and then he fucking came back and fought. I don't hear that shit. I think it's getting harder for Tank to find an opponent, so I get why he would probably say that, because a lot of people just don't want to fucking fight the man. A lot of people are choosing not to fight him. Lomachenko dipped out on a fight. Shakur Stevenson had a chance to fight him and chose not to fight him. There's a lot of people that chose not to fight Tank Davis, and I think that that's the thing about it. It would suck if he does retire because there is still a lot of fights on the table. I personally would love to see. I mean, like I said, him and Shakur would be a great fight to see. Him versus Teofimo Lopez would be dope to see. I don't know what you can get out of Lomachenko, but let's see him and Lomachenko. Him and Keyshawn Davis, even though I think he beats the shit out of Keyshawn Davis, I think him and Keyshawn Davis will have a great fucking fight. Who's another boxer that Tank can fight? I just want to see him whoop Devin Haney's ass. That'd be some funny shit to see. So probably that fight. I think that shit'd just be funny as a motherfucker. But yeah, man, this is the thing, man. I think that if Tank is going to retire, I get it. I think he's like 30, 31. He's been doing this for a long time, if that's the case. But again, like I said, I've seen boxers say that shit. Oh, I'm gonna retire, and then don't retire. They just wait for the right payday. And I think as long as Tank has been doing this, I think he's really realized that, like, yo, nobody really is trying to fight me. Like he knows nobody's really trying to engage with him. So if that is the case, I don't think he's gonna force anything. I think he's just gonna let it be that. So we shall see what happens. We shall actually see what the hell happens. I can't wait to see how this is gonna play out. Last night, let's go strictly right to this. So last night, LeBron James scored 10 points, had what, 8 rebounds and 4 assists. Charles Barkley on NBA inside the NBA on TNT said something that was, he said the quiet part out loud, which is what everybody's been trying to tell people that love LeBron James. He said the quiet part out loud, which is all these years and you still have not surpassed Michael Jordan in certain categories. What the fuck are we having these conversations for? If you still have not surpassed Michael Jordan in certain categories, bro, you played longer than him and you still haven't surpassed him in certain categories. What the fuck is the conversation of the greatest of all time? He is not the greatest. I've always said I don't look at LeBron. Listen, I will be doing this show next year. I will be doing this since January is going to be very, after college football, NFL playoffs, it's very easy for me to then settle in and do this episode. So it's going to be a very special I Bleed Sports. And I'm going to do 3 separate episodes, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James. And then I'm going to do one final episode where I'm going to talk about who I think is the greatest of all time. Now, maybe I learned something new. This is the thing about research. You learn something new every day about something that you probably didn't even think that you would learn. So I'm saying this right here, right now. LeBron's third to me. And I mean that like by a thread. Like he's third by a thread. His hopes and dreams, I feel like, lies on Steph Curry. Because if Steph Curry gets another ring before LeBron James does, which seems more likely right now than any damn thing, if Steph Curry gets a ring before LeBron James, I'm telling y'all right now, Steph Curry is not my third best player that I've ever physically seen. He's the third greatest player in the NBA ever. And LeBron's fourth. The one thing about LeBron James that everybody has always, this is why I've always said, I hate when you compare people to certain people. You can't compare LeBron James to a goddamn person. The only person you can compare him to, the only one you can compare him to, is Magic Johnson. Because the way they revolutionized their position in the NBA, that's it. That's it. You can't compare any newcomer to freaking LeBron James. You just can't fucking do it. Ben Simmons, Zion, name one, they are not them. They are not him. LeBron's unique. He's one of the rare few. But at the same time, at the same goddamn time, I need people to understand something and fully understand this. Father Time is undefeated. I saw yesterday on a post somebody was said Tom Brady is the only one that defeated Father Time. I'm like, did you see his last season in the NFL? Nigga, did you see his last season in the NFL? No, he didn't. No, the fuck he didn't. He did not defeat Father Time. Did you see his last season in the NFL? Holy shit, he was terrible. That's the thing about it, man. People will sit there all day and lie. I don't know if LeBron James is on the edge of going into a complete and utter collapse as an NBA player. That's something that you just cannot tell. 82 games is straining on anybody's body, especially a man that's been playing the game since he was a teenage, shit, way before then, since he was a kid, but playing at this all-time level for 20 something years. He came into the league when he was 18. He's what, 38, 39 now? About to turn 39, 30, 39, 40. The man's been playing this game at an all-time level. You at some point he is going to take a step back. I don't give a shit how hard you play. Your body is going to catch up to you. You can spend as much money and much time on your body as much as you can. It still does not wipe the birth certificate that you have. It will never change the date on your birth certificate. And LeBron James is about to find that shit out. You can only do so much for so long until the birth certificate starts to come into conversation. And your age on your birth certificate, it started coming to question, my nigga. Like, it's okay. You can spend all the money under the sun. You can spend all the money under the sun, my brother. And you still have to worry about your goddamn age. It's cool. LeBron James is literally the driving force. But this is why I said coming into the season, when I did the NBA preview for the I Bleed Sports, I literally said he will become the most overrated player coming into the season. The reason why I said that is because exactly of what the fuck is happening right now. The team is not performing. They're not performing well. They're doing okay. They can win you games. But to sit there and say they could go up against the Denver Nuggets in a playoff game and playoff series and think they're gonna give Denver a fight, you're delusional. If you think they could beat Minnesota, you're crazy. Like, they don't have the horses. They're not a good fucking basketball team like that. They're okay. They can win you games. But I've been said this. LeBron's season is not judged on what he does on a basketball court. It's what the team does on the court and behind the scenes. And here's the thing, they're gonna flip these players. They're gonna flip some players doing a trade deadline like they did, like they have done the last 2, 3 years. They're gonna flip these players at their trade deadline, people that they don't want, and they're gonna get some new pieces, and then everybody's gonna scream, "Oh, here we go, they're gonna go on a run." And they may, and they may not. I'm coming to the point of, like, I'm not gonna sit here and say they're never gonna do it. Anything is possible. Anything is fucking possible, man. But I'm more on the line of LeBron's gotta do it. And Anthony Davis got to. LeBron and Anthony Davis are your 1-2 punch, no matter what. Dalton Kconnect, who I've been saying was going to probably win rookie of the fucking year, is the best player off the bench. The moment you put him in a starting rotation, your team is going to shit the bed because you now have no points coming off the bench. None. I don't know what the plan is for the Lakers moving forward. I do know this. This is LeBron's team. This is all he wanted. This is why I said about Giannis a couple weeks ago. Now, I saw a lot of people being like, "Well, Giannis, this is what you did. You wanted this." It's kind of funny. I said that literally like 2, 3 weeks ago, and people, and then the following week, when the Milwaukee Bucks started losing a little bit, everybody was like, "Well, Giannis, you wanted this." It's the same thing with LeBron. Bro, you wanted this. You wanted J.J. Redick. You wanted all of these players. You can't now get mad and flip around and turn around and say, "Oh, Father Time's catching up with me." Fuck that. No, I don't hear that shit. I don't hear that shit. Because you knew at some point age was going to come into a factor. And yet you still brought in all these damn players that you knew probably couldn't contribute like that. Probably couldn't carry the team if you had a moment where you just couldn't score. Let's go 80 points last night. 80 points in an NBA game. Now, I know a lot of people say, "Well, that's Brandon. That's old basketball." Yeah, of course. In modern day game, you score 80 points back in the day, you probably would have won the game. You score 80 points in a game today, and it's not the third quarter, and that's your final total, and it's not a playoff game. It's a problem. It's a problem. I don't know, man. I know people sit there and get mad and thank the Lakers. So, listen, man. Lakers, like I've always said, I don't know about the Lakers, man. We shall see what happens. But this is why I've always been very, 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 very questionable of the Lakers. This is why. Because I don't trust the fucking Lakers. Because LeBron James, you gave LeBron James pretty much everything. You let him have everything. He took your whole franchise over. You don't win in a situation like that. And they're about to find out. Listen, man, this is a terrible situation, man. And I don't think the Lakers are going to fix this shit. And they're not going to turn it around. They're not going to flip it around. They're not going to. Listen, they're going to trade and get some pieces. Congratulations. But that doesn't make the team better. It doesn't change JJ Redick for being a goddamn, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't change JJ Redick. This is the thing about the Lakers, man. So, like I said, y'all made y'all bed, now deal with it. Let's get into college football. We have officially arrived to conference championship week. Like I said, college playoffs really kick off December 20th on a bunch of networks like TNT and ABC and So let's get into it. My crazy six. Today is just fucking stupid. The fact that the committee put Alabama in front of Miami, I get it. Miami's losing to really so-called bad teams. Georgia Tech took Georgia to eight overtime Friday night. Syracuse is now, Syracuse when they played Miami was 8-3. Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. Okay. Alabama lost to Oklahoma. Alabama beat LSU. LSU for the last 2 weeks have beaten Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. This is the thing. This is the thing that people don't understand. You cannot sit here and tell me that Alabama deserves a spot over Miami. You can't. There's no logical decision. Alabama's only in the college playoffs right now and because they beat Georgia. Georgia. Are you serious? That's why you're in the playoffs? It's because you beat Georgia? I know people are gonna say, but Brandon, Alabama's resume. Alabama's resume. They're in the toughest conference. SEC. SEC. No, I'm not giving y'all this year. Every fucking week, I gotta literally say this shit. I am an SEC kid. I watch every SEC game. But there are some situations where you cannot put that shit into consideration. Georgia Tech pretty much led the game against Georgia for most of the fucking game. Most of the game. Yet y'all want to sit here and tell me Georgia was in the playoffs no matter what. If Georgia lose to Texas in the SEC championship game, should Georgia make the playoffs? No, they shouldn't. Alabama should not be in the playoffs. Ole Miss should not be in the playoffs. What the fuck are y'all seeing that I see every week? The committee is fucking around, bro. This is why I said last week, and I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks. I do not fuck with this committee. They are fucking delusional. This is a terrible way to start the fucking college playoffs. Now, some dumbass is gonna sit there and say, "Well, Brandon, they want the brands, they want the big names." Listen, man. You're putting the big names on. You're taking the big names over actually quality football, and that's the fucking problem. You're trying to sit there and tell me, but they want the big names and they want the top tier players and. No, man. Notre Dame should not be in the fucking playoffs. Who the fuck has Notre Dame beaten? Army? Navy? Texas A&M? Nigga, what? Notre Dame is in the top five of the fucking college playoffs. Nigga, how? Let's get into it, man. My crazy six. My crazy six. Lord Jesus. You already know six teams of the college football. My six teams. I don't give a shit about what your list. Your list is your list. My list is my list. Six best teams that I feel in the college playoffs, in college football this year so far. Coming into a conference championship week. Let's do this, man. Number one, out the gate. They've been number one since Miami lost. And they've been number one since then. This is going to be a funny ass game, I'll tell you that, Saturday night between them and the and Penn State. And that is Oregon. Oregon Ducks, 12-0, going to the Big Ten Championship game against Penn State. Oregon should be able to beat Penn State with their eyes closed. I'm going to be honest with you. Like I've been said, I have no faith in Penn State. I have no faith in fucking Oregon. But Oregon is clearly the better team. They're a better team. Now, one thing I will say is this, is Penn State defensively can hold up against Oregon's offense, they got a chance to win the game because Penn State's offense sucks. Penn State offense fucking sucks. They are terrible. But yet you will let somebody tell you, but Penn State's good. Well, say Penn State and Penn State and Oregon this whole year. Is that the Big Ten sucked just along with them? They play the most bullshit schedule I've ever seen. Both of them. Oregon's biggest game was Ohio State. Name me the other game. Boise? That's it. Boise State is the only other team on that resume for Oregon that you can even, that I would even take. That you could say, well, they beat them. All right. Penn State's not good. They're not. And I know people are going to sit there and think I'm crazy and I'm just saying shit. Okay. We're going to see. If Penn State's defense cannot hold up against Oregon's offense, this shit going to be a blowout. This shit going to be a blowout. I don't think Penn State offensively can actually go point for point with Oregon. I don't think they have the skill or the physical ability to go hit point for point with Oregon. They have to hope and pray that they can that their defense can stay. If the defense can stay intact, if they let go at any moment, they let go of the rope at any moment, they're going to lose. And it's going to be a fucking blowout. Like I said, I don't think Oregon's good. Not in the slightest. I don't think Oregon's good at all. But they're better than Penn State. They're better than Penn State. And that's all you need to be better than. Number two is Boise State. 11-1. They go into their conference championship game, Mountain West. Which is funny because this is literally, I think they're going to be in Vegas, to be honest with you. They play against UNLV. I think UNLV is also ranked. I don't know where. I didn't really get a chance to see where they were ranked. But Boise State only lost this whole season was to Oregon. Go figure. I've been said that for numerous times. I've been said that that was the reason. Boise has an offense that isn't j Boise has an offense that isn't just Austin Gentry. And I know it seems like it is, but they have a quarterback. They got some weapons. They got some things in the Boise State offense now. Don't get it twisted now. Boise State is a really good team, man. Don't get it twisted now. So I think if Boise wins the Mountain West, I think they get third. I think they get the third spot in the And like I said, man, if Oregon does lose to Penn State, and Texas loses to Georgia. We need to have a conversation over who the fuck is number one. I know people don't want to have that conversation, but who gets number one should be a definitely conversation, man. And that's the thing. I think Boise should either be considered for the second spot. I know. They play in the Mountain West. Why would they be in the second spot? It makes fucking sense. Only loss was to Oregon? Why not? Number three. SMU. 11-1. They are also in a conference championship game this weekend. They play against Clemson. The best thing for SMU is Miami loss. Miami loss. That's the best thing for SMU. Why do I say that? Why would they not want to play Miami, who's a very good fucking team? Because if they would have played Miami and they would have lost to Miami, then some stupid ass motherfucker would have been in a conference room trying to tell people, but SMU shouldn't be in the playoffs because they lost to Miami. Shut your ass up. SMU. Now, here's the thing about SMU. You're playing against Clemson. Clemson's not great. They're not. I know people think Clemson is this really good fucking. No, they're not. Clemson has now lost three games this season. Georgia's one game, but you lose Louisville? Huh? And then you lose to South Carolina this last weekend. South Carolina's a really good team. I've always said South Carolina and Arkansas, I felt like in Kentucky, those three teams were walking landmines for the SEC. If you played them, you probably was going to have a game on your hands. But this is the reason for why I've always felt like if SMU beats Clemson, I'd be in my right. SMU is also another one. If, let's say, some crazy shit happens at the top of the mountain and Georgia beats Texas and Oregon loses to Penn State, we need a conversation about the number one seed. I know you don't think SMU or Boise should be number one because it's just so weird to see them be the number one seed and not an SEC or a Big Ten type of team. But they have the ability and they've won and they've done what they've needed to do to be in the conversation. And they've only done exactly what you've asked them to do. Run the table pretty much. Run that conference table. And they did it. Why can't they not be the number one seed in the playoffs? I don't get that shit. I don't understand. This is not recommended to the SEC and the Big Ten every fucking year. No. So that's my whole feeling on it, man. Number four, Notre Dame. 11-1. They're on a bye. Defensively, Notre Dame is great. Offensively, they suck. Notre Dame, this is my problem with Notre Dame. I got a problem with Notre Dame, Penn State. I had a problem with Ohio State. Michigan took care of that. Michigan took care of that. Alabama. Ole Miss. Here's my problem with this. I've seen too many games where y'all have been in these types of big moments and you have folded like a tent on a winning day. I don't want to see that shit no more. I'm sorry. Maybe for the college football fans, whatever the fuck that means, they're cool with that shit. I am not. I don't want to see those games where you lose 42 to 0. The fuck? Because your defense didn't show. Because your defense couldn't stay on the. Because your defense had to stay on the field a little bit longer. Because your offense couldn't score. Barely could get a first down. And yet, I gotta watch this college playoff game, and you getting your ass whooped. And y'all gonna sit there and tell me, but Notre Dame was the right team to put in. No, the fuck they weren't. They were never good. This college playoff. This first college playoff is going to show y'all exactly why you never just pick the fucking brand team. Because they're going to play some games, and the first week, you're going to see all these teams get their ass beat. And then you're going to just be sitting there like, what the fuck just happened? Because that never was good. They never were good. The best thing for Notre Dame is that the fact that they're going to be playing at home. Depending on who they play, they may or may not win. Number five, and that's Texas. 11-1. They are playing also in the conference championship game this weekend against Georgia. This is why I say if Texas wins, Georgia cannot make it. Now, I know people think I'm delusional for saying that shit. How could Georgia not make it? Because the only reason why Georgia's in the college playoffs right now is because they beat Texas. So if Texas comes back in your hometown in Atlanta and whoop your ass, doesn't that not square away the actual game y'all played in the beginning of the season? No. I would say this. Texas offense is shaky at best. I don't know what's up with Quinn Ewers. Maybe Quinn Ewers has got some injuries. I don't know that he's just not they are not choosing to disclose with everyone. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he just isn't feeling like himself. Maybe he is that guy. But if he goes into this game against Georgia and have that type of game he had the last couple of years against Alabama in the SEC championship game, what's the conversation? If Georgia gets blown out, nobody's ever talked about this. What if Georgia gets blown out Sunday, Saturday? What if Georgia gets blown out Saturday? Does Georgia make the playoffs? And they lose to Texas like that. And number six is Tennessee. They're on a bye this week. They're on a bye this week. They just missed out on possibly getting to the SEC championship game. Like I've always said, I think Tennessee is a really good team. I think they just need the situation. Now, again, Tennessee is just like Penn State, just like Ohio State, just like Alabama, just like some of these teams, just like Penn State, just like Ole Miss. Some of these teams, they're getting these big Notre Dame, they're getting these big freaking moments, and then they fold. Tennessee's one of those teams. I'm not gonna sit up here and act like they're not. Oh, because they are. But at the same time, I can easily sit here and tell you, if Tennessee at any moment does have that signature game and they know, oh, they can't play with us. Nobody can. They're a problem, and you cannot stop them. I look college football. Y'all already know, like I said, four games. My four games to look out for this week. My skeptical game of the week, my most interesting game of the week, my upset game of the week, and then, of course, my game of the week. Let's get into it. Skeptical game of the week is UNLV versus Boise State. UNLV is ranked. UNLV is a really good team. Even after losing their starting quarterback and I think starting running back or receiver at doing the because of the NIL deal went awry, UNLV still worked their way into getting into the Mountain West Championship game. Now, I don't know if they can beat Boise State, but they damn sure gave them a game the first time they played each other. We shall see. I think Boise is a team that's always very questionable. They're kind of like my Miami now, where they should easily win this game. But you are worried because they might take their foot off the gas because they're so goddamn good, and they know they're so goddamn good, that they might take their foot off the gas. And that is what kind of freaking scares me about Boise State, is that they're really freaking good. But they sometimes take their foot off the gas. And that's a goddamn problem. Especially when people are trying to have a reason to eliminate you from the playoffs, even though you have possibly the best loss out of everyone in the fucking playoffs. It's the crazy. The fact that Boise is considered this, and like I said, it's from the Mountain West, so I get it. But they have at least a conference. Notre Dame has no conference, and their best win is Navy. Make that shit make sense, 'cause you can't. 'Cause you fucking can't. My most interesting game of the week, and that's Clemson versus SMU. Listen, like I said, Clemson is good. They're okay. Clemson is good. Clemson's okay. But Clemson Clemson went on a winning streak early in the year, and then of course, you know, they started playing teams that could kind of handle their offense and then kind of make their defense look a little shaky. And that's the thing about this situation. I think SMU could take advantage of this. SMU has a really good fucking offense. Oh, really good fucking offense. But SMU has something a lot of people don't talk about. They have a defense. And they have a true defining defense. They don't have just a regular old run-of-the-mill defense. They got a really good fucking defense. SMU can actually put pressure on Clemson. SMU might not be afraid of this moment. And if they're not afraid of this moment, they can beat the shit out of Clemson. And that's where the problem kicks in. So I think Clemson is a good team. Kinda. But SMU can actually beat Clemson and bleed them outright. And that's going to be an interesting situation to see. Also, game of the week, Georgia versus Texas. The only reason why I put them there is because somebody had to be there. Like I said, if Texas comes in there, here's the thing. Did something spark for Georgia when their backs was against the wall against Georgia Tech last week? Yeah, it had to. Do I think that now brings them into the SEC championship game against Texas and they absolutely beat Texas? We shall see. We shall see. I think the thing about Georgia is that they know they have the defense. They do not think they have the offense. Carson Beck is okay. He's okay. But like I said, all that needs to happen for Texas is that they actually just need to have an offense. And I mean a actual real offense. I mean, Quinn Ewers has got to be actually on his shit. And that's the thing about it. If they play this game, if Georgia plays this game like they played against Georgia Tech for pretty much most of the fourth quarter, for most of those four quarters up until maybe a 5 minute stretch in the fourth quarter of that game. If they play that game like that, Texas blows them out and it's not even a conversation. It's not even a conversation. Game of the week is Penn State versus Oregon. Do I think Oregon can beat? Do I think Penn State can beat Oregon? Do I think Penn State can beat Oregon? Not really. No, I don't. I don't think Penn State can actually beat Oregon. Fuck no. Do I think anything can happen on a Saturday night in a conference championship game when you know you need to win this game? Like I said, the best thing for Penn State is to try to keep it close. Because the moment it gets out of fucking hand, it's over. You cannot allow this game to get out of hand. Because if it gets out of hand, you're probably going to lose. And that's the problem. Big Four in the NFL. Listen, Thanksgiving was crazy as hell. Dallas won. Detroit won. Chicago fired the head coach literally the next day, which I kind of. Yo, this is how funny this is. I watched that last play on the Chicago game and I said, whoo, shit, that coach getting fired. I said, "Ooh, shit, he fired!" And literally the next day, he got fired. Like you know how some shit you be like, yeah, that was that." You can pinpoint when you was like, he fucked." That was the moment we was like, he fucked." And there it was. It was, oh my God, that shit was bad. Oh, that was bad. Oh, that was bad, man. Oh, that was so bad. We already have two teams that already clinched playoff berths. Kansas City, which I don't know. Well, I do know why Kansas City hasn't really clinched their division yet because The Chargers are still good. Denver's pretty, it's still relevant. The Raiders are done. But those are two teams that are still relevant and can still somehow, some way win a division. And here's how funny this is. They still have to play Denver in Denver. They got the Chargers this weekend in Kansas City. If the Chargers beat them, and Kansas City kind of somehow, some way has a moment where they lapse, they can lose the division. It don't sound like it, but it can happen. Buffalo's in because they've won the division already. The AFC East sucks. It's fucking horrible. The Dolphins lost this past Thursday to the Packers, which really opened the door because that was the only fucking viable team that could even catch them. So when they lost to the Packers, it was like, oh, just gotta win Sunday. Cool. And of course, playing against San Francisco, who pretty much is just pack it the fuck in. It's over. Just let it go. It's not happening this year. Pack it in. Start looking for next year. Start paying attention to who you could keep for next year. Maybe Brandon Ayuk. Well, you gotta keep Brandon Ayuk because you fucking signed him. Nobody's gonna pay your ass for fucking Brandon Ayuk. But Christian McCaffrey has torn his. He got. He's out for at least this year. The rest of the year, it's over. Like, let's move on for San Francisco. If I was San Francisco, I would start to try to, you know. Kind of like how a lot of these teams are, which I'm gonna talk about my you know, and my levels of warning. I'm gonna talk about them, but yeah, San Francisco, it's over. Just let it go. It's not coming back. You're done. It's finished. Let's just move the fuck on. Let's get into it. My big four of the NFL. Let's get into it. You already know. My four best teams. I don't know about everybody else. I don't do the top tens, top fives, and all the other shit. I do four. I ain't got time for that shit, and it's way easier. So here we go. Number one, what a bullet. Escaping that so-called Thursday game. Listen, Detroit is starting to get weird for me. It's getting weird for me. But then number one, it is the Detroit Lions. 11-1. This Thursday is going to be very fucking interesting. They play the Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football in Detroit. It is going to feel like a goddamn playoff game in that fucking building. I can tell you that now. It is going to feel like a goddamn playoff game in that building because it's going to pretty much prove who the fuck is going to go to the playoffs. Who, if Detroit can beat the Green Bay Packers, which is very important, that's a massive hit to the Green Bay Packers, because now you know all we have is the wild card. We are not winning the division. The Detroit Lions have swept us in the NFC. We still have one more game against Minnesota in Minnesota. If we can beat Minnesota in Minnesota, then maybe. But even in that sense, you're hoping that Minnesota at some point has a game where they just fall. But also, Minnesota is one of those teams that also has to play Detroit in Detroit. So this is a very interesting situation. But Detroit is 11-1. They have literally won, what, 10 consecutive games? That shit sounds crazy. It sounds nuts that that's actually the truth. But it's the truth. They've won 10 consecutive games since losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week two. Yo, this shit sounds fucking nuts, dude. They lost in week two to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now they have. This shit sounds absolutely fucking crazy. They've won 10 consecutive games, and they have a chance to officially give themselves a chance to at least win the NFC North. That's a very impactful situation. I can't wait to see what happens Thursday night. I'm looking forward to that game. Me and my brother Juan always have a freaking joke about the prime time prime video prime games on Thursday nights. The NFL finally gave Prime their package. They gave them their stimulus package, because clearly they have officially become now a subscriber of the NFL, because they finally gave these motherfuckers actual games that they can actually use, and we are actually hyped for on Thursday Night Footballs. Usually they give us like the Dolphins, who's like 4-8 versus like the fucking Patriots, who are 3-9, and you just like, do I really gotta watch this shit? Like, I gotta watch this shit? Hey man, look here, bro. Cut your losses. This ain't it. They finally gave Prime. They finally gave Prime the NFL package. I'm proud of them. They finally gave Prime actual games that we can actually get hyped for Thursday nights. I'm actually very proud of them. Number two is the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's be real. Philadelphia is number two. 10-2. Another team who has caught fucking fire. And it all started in New Orleans against the Saints. The Saints went on a complete downward spiral, and the Eagles went completely the fuck up. They took the juice. I don't know what happened. What they said at the end of the movie, Juice? You got the juice now. They took the juice from the Saints because they ain't looked back since that fucking game. That shit is crazy. They took the juice from the Saints in week. They took the juice for the Saints in week four. Holy shit, man. They took the juice. Week three? Oh my God. They took the juice from these niggas. They ain't looked back since. Like, God almighty. Yeah, man. These niggas took the juice from the Saints. That shit is nuts. They ain't looked back since, man. Philly is dominating, man. Beating the Baltimore Ravens, giving Lamar Jackson his second loss ever to an NFC team. It's crazy work. That's crazy work. You did your thing. Listen, also, I want to say this, and let me preface this by saying this. Saquon Barkley is the MVP. I know people think I'd be hating on Josh Allen. I'm not hating on Josh Allen. I just believe this is one of those years where you don't have to force a quarterback to be MVP. You don't want to give it to Lamar Jackson, who has a better stats and numbers than Josh Allen, because he's losing now. Okay. But you want to sit there and tell me Josh Allen should be MVP. Why? Because the Bills look good. His numbers are not great this year, but look at Josh Allen. He's having a. You take Saquon Barkley off of Philly, that offense is literally last year's offense. With no help. Saquon Barkley is the MVP of this year. You can put the shit to bed. It's Saquon Barkley's. You need to see a Josh Allen game to finally be like, oh, okay, Saquon Barkley. okay, Saquon. This man, Saquon Barkley, 2 weeks ago had 258 yards, 300 yards from scrimmage. Nigga, he's the MVP. Are we fucking kidding ourselves? Like, stop this shit. This man had 250 yards from the running the football. He had 300 yards by himself in a football game. Nigga, how? No, bro. No, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. 300 yards by himself, bro, in a football game? Are you kidding me? And y'all still trying to sit there and tell me, but Josh Allen, nigga, shut your ass up. You don't know shit. God almighty, you don't know shit. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. No. Philly is rolling. Cooper DeJean and Quayon Mitchell. I will, to the day I die, will never understand how the fuck they let that happen. Who let that happen? Why did you let that happen? What? Quayon Mitchell was drafted 22nd in the draft. 22nd. 18 picks later was Cooper DeJean. Me and my brother Juan both had these two at some point being took in at least top 12, top 10. I had Quayon Mitchell going to Detroit because I always knew Detroit needed a cornerback. They drafted a cornerback, of course. Teron Arnold from Alabama. But I had him going to Detroit. I had Cooper DeJean going. I forget where I had Cooper DeJean going. Maybe Baltimore? I think. Nah, yeah, Baltimore. I had him getting drafted in the first round. Tells you a lot. This is the difference between all of these situations that people don't understand. This is why I say Philly different, man. Philly has actually finally figured out their defense. And that is something that's very important because with the players that they have, Jalen Carter, Quayon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, all of these pieces, all these young pieces, and you just couldn't pull it together defensively last year. Okay, now you can. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles defense. This is the defense we thought they would have last year. No wonder why. No wonder why. They're one of the best teams in football. Number three, the Pittsburgh Steelers. 9-3. They go up. Oh, Eagles go up against Carolina Panthers. Listen, Carolina's actually better than what people give them credit for. Carolina's having a great resurgence at the end of this year. They're finally actually believing in Bryce Young. They're giving him a chance to grow up in the pocket, be the quarterback of that franchise that you pretty much traded Chicago to have last year. You finally are not listening to the people, and you're just like, no, we're gonna let this kid make mistakes and figure it out. Good. I still don't think Carolina beats fucking Philly. Oh, I ain't gonna sit there and say that now. They still gotta prove to me, Bryce Young still gotta prove it on the road to me. And I don't think he can prove it on the road, especially not against no fucking Philly. That's a trap game, son. That's a damn trap game, son. Like I said, three is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Pittsburgh at three is good. 9-3, beating the Cincinnati Bengals in a complete and utter shootout. 44-38. Cincinnati, my guy, bro. Listen, man. I'm not saying that Zach Taylor is the problem, but he can't. I'm not even gonna say Lou Arano, whatever the fuck that defense coordinator name is. This is the Cincinnati Bengals in a nutshell. They have great players. They draft these amazing players, but then you let them go because you don't want to pay them. That's stupid. You still haven't paid T. Higgins. You still haven't paid Jamar Chase. And yet you still think that you just could plug and play somebody when you get rid of them. No, man, you're starting to find out. Like, this shit is hard to find good quality players like a Jamar Chase, like a T. Higgins, like a Jesse Bates. It's damn near impossible, Von Bell. It's damn near impossible to find these types of players that can go out there and dominate games for you. You drafted these people and you can't even re-sign them because you just were fucking stubborn. No, man, this is gonna be damn near impossible. I don't think that this team, at any stretch of the imagination, that the Cincinnati Bengals are this fucking stupid. But they are. The franchise is very dumb. The owner does not know what the fuck he's doing. And it's kind of funny that I relate back to Carson Palmer for saying they never gave me the right pieces of the right team. Because it's true. And this is exactly why this is happening. They are going to piss away Joe Burrow's career like they pissed away Carson Palmer's career. The problem with this is that you're going to actually have to answer for this shit. See, Carson Palmer got injured. Okay, that's one time. Cool. But the fact that you're going to piss away Joe Burrow's career like this, the man that actually got you to a Super Bowl for the first time in almost, what, 20, 30 fucking years? And you're gonna piss away his career because you're just too fucking stupid to sign the people that he actually needs. You get what you deserve. The fact that you're about to let T. Higgins and Jamar Chase pretty much walk for fucking free, you get what you deserve. The fact that you cannot build an offensive line to save your damn life. Number three is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number three is the Pittsburgh Steelers. 9-3. Like I said, won in the shootout, 44-38 against the Cincinnati Bengals last week. I don't know if Pittsburgh is good offensively. I don't know if Pittsburgh is good offensively. George Pickens still has his moments where he's still a fucking child in games. He throws temper tantrums. You still have George Pickens as your one, and then the two is very fucking cheeky. Is it Mike Williams? Is it Vance Jefferson? Who is it? You have a running game. I said this literally at the beginning of the year. The Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line is going to be one of the best offensive lines as they get more established and understand who they are. This is why I kept saying that. Because I saw the draft. I'm like, they actually drafted really good offensive line pieces. This isn't just some one-off. They actually are going to build this offensive line. That's something very special because when you can build an offensive line and keep it healthy and keep it going, that's very important. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers draft. It didn't look good on paper to a lot of people. But who gives a fuck? if it looked good on paper to a lot of people. I don't give a shit that it didn't look good on paper to a lot of people. This draft for Pittsburgh was one of the best drafts. I told you this when I did my show about the draft. Pittsburgh had one of the best drafts. Them, Detroit, Philly. It's showing up right the fuck now in the NFL. They had one of the best drafts. Joey Porter Jr. I even thought Pittsburgh's draft last year was fucking good. Joey Porter Jr., who's now a solid two, maybe one. Sometimes when you need him to be a one, he can do it. This is the thing, man. Pittsburgh's a good fucking team, man. Mike Tomlin don't lose, and that's another thing. Mike Tomlin, he don't lose. I would trade a Pittsburgh Steelers fan right the fuck now for Mike Tomlin. You can have all of the Saints problems. Nigga, give me Mike Tomlin right now. What you want to do? You want to do this trade? Let's get it straight, man. Who do y'all want off the Saints? Alvin Kamara? Chris Olave? Who y'all want? Because I will take Mike Tomlin right now. Are you kidding me as a head coach? Right now. Are you serious? That man has never had a losing season. You know how fucking impossible that is? You know how hard that shit sounds? Even Bill Belichick has had losing seasons. This man has had one job when he became. This man has been a head coach for 18 years. This is his only head coaching job he's ever had. He's never been fired. He went from the Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator to the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach. This man has had 18 winning consecutive seasons. Nigga, seriously, how the fuck is that possible, bro? Oh my God, 18 consecutive winning seasons. You know how hard that is? You know how impossible? Andy Reid has had a losing season or two. Reid. Bill Belichick, Sean Payton has had losing seasons before. This man has had 18 consecutive winning seasons in arguably the hardest division in the 18-year stretch. AFC East ain't that been never been as goddamn hard. AFC West was never hard. The AFC South damn sure wasn't hard. This man had easily the hardest division. Every year he had to play against the Baltimore Ravens or the Cincinnati Bengals, and he always won. Always. That's damn near impossible. Yeah, people sit there and say, well, he had Big Ben, he had Antonio Brown, he had Le'Veon Bell. Okay, okay, so explain him going to the playoffs last year with Mason Rudolph. Explain him going to the playoffs last year with Mason fucking Rudolph. Explain that, please. I would love to hear it. I would love to hear that explanation. Please explain that. Explain how he got a winning season with Dub Hodges. Explain how he got Russell Wilson looking like his old self. You can't explain it, man, because it's just unreal. The Steelers are the third best team in the NFL. I'm not looking at the record. I know a lot of people say, well, what about Kansas City? What about Buffalo? Pittsburgh is the third best team in the NFL. The defense of Pittsburgh would wreck Buffalo's offense. The Pittsburgh defense would fuck over the Kansas City offensive line. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Let's do this. And on top of that, right now, they have all of the opportunity to win the AFC North. They don't have to play Baltimore until what, like week 18? They don't have to see Baltimore until like week 18. They're good. They could easily walk to the division. This week they play against the Cleveland Browns. Play against the Cleveland Browns. They just played Cleveland what, last Thursday? Yeah, Thursday after last on Thursday Night Football in Cleveland, snowy. They get their get back. Or they didn't get their get back after losing to Cleveland last week, a couple weeks ago on Thursday Night Football. Then they get their get back. And number four is the Green Bay Packers, 9-3. Like I said, Green Bay needs this game. I don't think Green Bay needs the game because I don't think they're getting the playoffs. They're gonna get in the playoffs. I'm looking at the NFC and it's literally Vikings, Packers, Washington. Kind of what I expected. Well, not without the Vikings. I expected the Packers and I expected the Commanders. I expected those two teams, and I expected the command and the Cardinals. I expected those three teams and the Cardinals to get in. But now that this is happening, Green Bay is 9-3. Now, I don't think they're going to win the NFC North. Now, do I think they can beat Detroit? Yeah, they can beat Detroit. I think the game is going to beat Detroit. I'm not going to sit up here and act like they can't beat Detroit. They can beat Detroit. Do I think they will? No, I don't think they will, because I think as good as Green Bay is, and I mean as good as Green Bay is, I think Detroit just has a better offense than Green Bay. And when you have a better offense and your defense is somewhat shaky, it's not great. It's okay. It can win you games. It's top 15, but it's not this could take away Amon-Ra St. Brown, or could take away Jahmyr Gibbs, or could take away Sam Laporta. It can't take away anyone. So if you have all of these different weapons, now here's the thing: Detroit sometimes does what I hate teams do, shoot themselves in the goddamn foot. They do this shit every fucking game. They have moments where they kind of just have a lapse in judgment. But I think Green Bay is good. Green Bay is going to make the playoffs, and I think that's what people are not understanding. Green Bay is going to make the playoffs. Vikings are going to probably make the playoffs. Green Bay is probably going to make the playoffs, and the Commanders are going to make the playoffs. Green Bay is in the playoffs. The question is, do they win the division? And that's kind of where the problem comes in. So, yeah. Levels of warning. Let's get into it. Levels of warning for the NFL. You already know I do this. Three. Three. Yellow, caution. Orange, panic time. And red is the good old DOA. Let's get into it. Yellow, caution. And that is the Baltimore Ravens. 8-5. After coming off of a loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, the Ravens defensively is starting to wake up. Give them a lot of credit, because for most of the year, defensively they sucked. That's not even play like that. That wasn't a thing. They sucked. It was bad. It was bad. The Ravens offensively has been struggling for identity. This is the problem with the Ravens. Their defense is starting to wake up, but their offense is starting to look stupid. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the Ravens. It's like they're forcing themselves to still have to trust Lamar Jackson. When you have Derrick Henry, just give the fucking ball to Derrick Henry. Let the man run. What the fuck are we doing? Oh my God, it pisses me off that you brought this man in only to just sit there and try to play like it doesn't make any sense. Just give him the damn ball. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be in a playoff game, and I fear this, and this is what's going to happen. They're going to be in a playoff game, and instead of them understanding that Derrick Henry is whooping ass and taking names, they're gonna do something stupid, very fucking stupid, and just put the ball back in Lamar Jackson's hands. Now, that's not a problem. Lamar Jackson is a two-time MVP, could have been possibly a three-time MVP, possibly still can be a three-time MVP. I'm not gonna sit up here and act like he can't. But the reason for why Baltimore has lost the last couple games is because they cannot, and I repeat, they cannot figure out the fucking offense. They have lost games this year because the offense that they are trying to run is the old offense of the fucking Baltimore Ravens. You have a truly dominant running back in Derrick Henry, and yet you still are trying to sit there and say, well, Lamar, take us home. Lamar's good. We know this. But there is a reason for why you brought Derrick Henry in. John Harbaugh said something that was the dumbest shit on the planet. We didn't bring Derrick Henry in here to run the ball for 30 times in a game. That's stupid, because that's the fuck you did. Rashad Bateman is now hurt. Baltimore offense is now in a identity crisis, and they haven't figured it out. This is my biggest problem with Baltimore, is that Todd Monke, the offensive coordinator, this was his problem last year, especially in that game against Kansas City. What fucked them the most was the fact that they were actually running the ball. They were killing Kansas City with the run game. And then they just stopped running the football. It was just like, what the fuck are you doing? You just sit there with the fucking brawl, like your blood brawling. Like, cause, bro, you're killing them with the run. What are you doing? And he just stopped running the football. And he's just like, what the? He does that now. He does that now. He has Derrick Henry would go out there and have a game. Quick plays. Next drive, you just don't see him. And you just be sitting there like, what the fuck is he doing? That's the Baltimore Ravens offense. It's all on Todd Monken. He's gotta get out his own way. Cause he continuously tries to. I get it. You want Lamar Jackson to be the guy. And Lamar Jackson is the fucking guy. Don't get that twisted. But where you screw up is when you try to overinsert your power in these situations. No, keep it simple. That's the problem with the Ravens. They don't know how to keep shit simple. And that's what bites them in the ass in a lot of these games. Like it did Saturday. I mean, Sunday against the Eagles. Like it did against Pittsburgh. It bites them in the ass because they can't keep shit just plain old fucking simple. Run Derrick Henry. It's not that hard. He's right the fuck there. Just run them. Just give them the ball. Let them run. And when it's time for Lamar Jackson to step up and do his thing, Lamar Jackson gonna step up and do his fucking thing. But this you trying to force him to do it is just so stupid. It's stupid. Orange, panic time. That's the Saints, 4-8. Listen, I do black and gold podcast episodes. Doing one this upcoming Sunday against the Giants. Listen, the Saints. And this is something I'm gonna say that I say on my podcast every day, and I'm gonna say it right here on this one. Please, for the love of God, lose these next couple games. There is no reason for this. What are you winning for? You have nothing to win. The division of the NFC South is not great. It's not good at all. We're two games back of a chance to get the NFC South with a Week 18 matchup between Tampa Bay, and we're hoping Atlanta falls off a fucking cliff. Now they're doing a great job of it. I mean, preface that by saying that Atlanta's doing a great job of it. I mean, I'm not gonna sit up here and act like they're not doing an amazing job of it. But I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, man, the Saints have too many games where they're playing against top competition that is just not gonna let them lose. They're just not gonna let them win those games. You got the Commanders coming to you who still has a chance to win the NFC North, I mean the NFC East, but at least get in the playoffs. You have a chance. You still have to play Green Bay who still has a chance to win the NFC North and will be possibly in the playoffs when we play them. You got the Giants this upcoming weekend. Who gives a fuck? Like, you got the Raiders still coming to you, and like I said, Tampa Bay. You have to hope Tampa Bay and Atlanta just shit the bed the next couple of weeks, and you can just somehow, some way, sneak a game out of the Green Bay, Washington situation. You have to hope and pray you can sneak a game out of that. If you cannot sneak a game out of the Green Bay game or the Washington game, then you're screwed. You're screwed moving forward. So I think this is over. The season's done. Put it to bed and let's just look for the draft. And red is DOA, and that's the Dolphins, 5-7. Well, guess what? It's winter, which means the Dolphins thawed the fuck out. Literally, they didn't thaw out. They froze like they usually do in winter games. Listen, man, this ain't just a tour thing. And I know people keep saying that Tua just does not play well in the cold. That is not a Tua thing. That's a team thing. We've seen now too many games where this fucking team just freezes. They freeze. I don't know what's going on. Thursday night on Thursday night on Thanksgiving against the Packers was a prime example of the team just fucking freezing. It was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? They just did not work. That game Thursday was a perfect example of the Dolphins. When it comes to the winter, they cannot show up. I don't know what it is. The best thing for the Dolphins is that they played the Bills and the Patriots already in the cold. They already went to the Bills and the Patriots. They don't have to go back to the Bills and the Patriots. But the Dolphins, this isn't just a, see, this is the thing. Everybody says it's a tour thing. It is not a tour thing. This is a team thing. These niggas do not know how to show up when it matters the most in the fucking cold. It's like they literally are adapted to Miami. And if it's not Miami's weather, then they're probably going to lose. And that's the thing about the situation. I don't know what more could this team do. I don't know what they really need to do, but you're not going to win. The division's over. Buffalo's already got the division. So I don't know really what they can physically do to get into the AFC playoffs. I don't think you're catching as crazily weird the as crazily weird as the Baltimore Ravens is playing right now. Yes, they have no identity technically in the AFC right now. I totally agree with that. I don't think they really have an identity in the AFC right now, in their offense right now. Baltimore still is more competitive and better than you. You're not catching Denver, and you're not catching the Chargers. I think the Chargers and Denver are better than you. So your season's pretty much over, Dolphins. It's over. The only team you could possibly catch is the Baltimore Ravens. And that's only because they're struggling so much offensively. But you're not catching the Dolphins. I mean, you're not catching the Broncos, and you're not catching the Chargers. So your season's pretty much fucking over because you're not winning, because the division is already wrapped up. Buffalo's already got it. So what do? You look to next year and you figure it out. Defensively, you guys weren't really that good this year. You guys lost too many games when Tua went down. And it really just shows you how really bad was the situation for how bad was it for Tua? That's pretty much what you would be thinking. Like, how bad was it if Tua, how would this team really be if Tua didn't get injured? But here's the problem that people don't understand. Miami wasn't good when Tua was healthy. That's the problem people don't understand. Miami wasn't good when Tua was actually healthy. They were pretty bad. They were pretty mediocre most of the start of the season. Yeah, I know they got hot for like 2 seconds. And then they lost. And then you're like, oh, yeah, right. That's Miami. Gotcha. Figured it out. Thank you. That's the thing about the situation, man. Listen, man. Do I think Miami could next year, like I said, Saints, Dolphins, just look for next year. Baltimore, figure out your offense. Oh my God, man, figure out that damn offense because that shit is embarrassing. That's it. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I am Brandon New. This has been the Brandon New Show. I Bleed Sports. I Bleed Sports Awards is coming soon. Peace.